Then we are coming down to understand a little bit about, 1 second. Okay. In case of single factor, where there is no involvement of import factors, the export factor may obtain the credit evaluation details from the correspondent bank abroad, because due diligence report on the ultimate buyer is very much essential for any bankers whenever they are forwarding their document on behalf of their exporter clients for realization. KYC and due diligence is must, and it has to be undertaken. Okay. Now, another regulation for the export of the goods on lease and hire basis. Lease and hire basis. Friends, please remember, when leasing out any goods and it is going outside the country, or maybe given on the hire purchase scheme and goods are going out from the country, then prior approval of Reserve Bank of India is required. So the proposal has to be given to the Reserve Bank of India through the AD bank by the exporter. Exporter should apply for the necessary permission from the concerned regional office of Reserve Bank of India. Now, concern about the elongated credit terms, means longer, prolonged credit terms. Exporters who are intending to export the goods on elongated terms may submit their proposal giving full particulars of their banks for consideration by the regional office of Reserve Bank of India, Reserve Bank of India, for elongated terms exports. Okay. Now, export of currency. Like how there was an import of currency, there will be an export of currency also. The permission of Reserve Bank of India is required for any export of Indian currency except to the extent permitted under any general permission which is granted under regulation. Now, what is this general permission granted by Reserve Bank of India for export or taking away of Indian rupees abroad? First condition is that any person who is a resident in India, he can take outside India, other than Nepal and Bhutan, okay, the currency notes of the government of India, not beyond 25,000 rupees. Maximum 25,000 rupees he can carry with him, Indian rupees, whenever he is going out. Then, any person who is a resident outside India, and he is not a citizen of Bangladesh or Pakistan, and also not traveler coming from or going to Pakistan or Bangladesh and visiting India, he may take outside India the currency notes of the government of India up to 25,000 rupees. For him, the same regulation will be applicable. These are some of the regulations about export of currency. Next one is a project export and service exports. This is very vast topic, project export and service export. But in short, I will explain what it is. Okay. Export of engineering goods on deferred payment basis. Okay. Execution for the turnkey projects which are abroad are considered undertaking the civil construction abroad, okay, by the contractor who is a resident Indian, he is going abroad, and collectively it is referred as project export. That means the project for execution of any contract, turnkey contract, project contract, or civil construction contract abroad, and that offer is awarded to the Indian exporter who is undertaking or who is into that business, such a kind of activity is considered under the project export. Okay. Indian exporters are required to obtain the approval, post-award approval, from the AD bank, or depending upon the value of the project, either from the Exim Bank at the post-award stage before undertaking the execution contract, right? Now, this is all covered under the PEM, that is Project Export Manual. It is a very big manual. It is very big project. But for your understanding, this kind of work also covers under the export of goods and services. Now, let us go a little bit about the export regulations. We have seen the guidelines. Now, see the export regulations. Now, in these export regulations, the first one is the export of goods to the customs port. Now, there are two types of ports. One is a completely it is as it is, as hitherto, the EDI port, that is EDI port, and second one is non-EDI port. EDI port is an export data interchange port, that is wherever the facility of online issuance of the shipping bill and bill of entries are handled. Okay, these ports are EDI port, and those who are operating manually, like they are issuing in paper form shipping bill, like they are issuing in paper form bill of entry in quadruplicate, okay, blue color, green color or something like that, right? So the custom shall certify the value which is declared by giving the running serial number on two copies of export declaration form, okay, submitted by the exporter at non-EDI, that is electronic data interchange port, non-EDI port, and customs shall also retain the original EDF for the transmission to the Reserve Bank of India and return the duplicate copy to the exporter. At the time of shipment of the goods, the exporter shall bring that duplicate copy and submit that duplicate copy with EDF to the customs. And after examining the goods, customs shall certify that quantity which is mentioned in the EDF form, okay, and documents, and subsequently when it is certified, then that copy will be returned back to the exporter to submit to their bankers along with the other document, maybe document under negotiation or it may be under collection. Okay. Thereafter, another regulation is to, within 21 days from the date of export, exporter has to complete the EDF copy as well as the certified copy of shipping bill to the bank, to his bank. Okay. After the documents have been negotiated and sent for collection, the AD bank shall report such a transaction through the export data process managing process monitoring system. Okay. Thereafter, in case the export is made under the deferred credit arrangement or to the joint venture abroad against the equity participation, that is permitted, no? Equity means you export the goods, and rather than realization of the export good, the company, that is exporter, issues certain shares to them in lieu of. So company will issue, the buying company will issue certain shares to the exporter as realization proceeds of the export of goods. That is called the investment or investment into India. Okay. In case of export which is made under deferred credit term or the joint venture which are abroad, wholly owned subsidiary or joint venture, equity participation or under rupee credit arrangement, the number and date of Reserve Bank of India approval as well as the number and date of the relative RBI circular shall be recorded on the appropriate places under EDF. That reference number is required to be given. Where duplicate copy of the EDF is misplaced for or it is lost, AD bank should accept the copy of duplicate EDF duly certified by the customs. Okay. Now, shipping bills which shall be submitted in duplicate to the Commissioner of Customs or the SEZ if the export is made through the SEZ unit, through the SEZ area. After verifying the authenticity of the concerned officials of the SEZ, retain one copy of the shipping bill marked for the exchange control copy for being submitted to the AD bank. He will hand it over within 21 days from the date of export for collection or negotiation of the bills. The exchange control copy of the shipping bill shall be the same as that of the EDF, that is, which is details of which are mentioned under export data filing arrangement. The duplicate copy of the form together with the copy of invoice shall be retained by the AD bank and may not be submitted to the Reserve Bank of India. Having understood the export from SEZ also, let us understand another regulation for export of the goods to the post. Export of the goods to the post. Postal authorities are also allowed to export of the goods by post only if the original copy of the export declaration form is signed or countersigned by AD bank of the exporter. So, the EDF which involves the sending of the goods by post should be first presented by the exporter to the AD bank for the counter signature, and thereafter it goes to the postmaster. Okay. Generally, this EDF has to be signed by the custom authority and not by the bank. But in respect of the post, export by post, it has to be signed by the AD bank. What is the process followed when the goods are exported from through the post office? Bank shall countersign the EDF form after ensuring that the parcel has been addressed to their branch or the correspondent bank in the country of the import and return the original copy of the exporter, who shall then submit that EDF copy to the post office with the parcel. Duplicate copy of the EDF shall be retained by the AD, to whom the exporter shall submit the relevant document together with an extra copy of the invoice for negotiation within 21 days from the date of sending the parcel. The concerned overseas branch, after receipt of the parcel, okay, will deliver that parcel as per the instruction which are given by the bank. Or they may make the payment, or they may accept the relative bills. Bank may countersign the EDF covering the parcel address directly to the consignee, provided there is a condition when the bank should sign or countersign. There is a condition that an irrevocable letter of credit for the full value of the export has been opened in favor of the exporter and has been advised through the AD concern, or the full value of the shipment has been received in advance by the exporter, and finally the AD bank should satisfy on the basis of the standing of the track record of the exporter and the arrangement which is made for the realization for export proceeds. Okay. Now there is another event may happen in respect of the export of the fish or fisheries or catches. And that catch happens at the deep sea, well interior into the sea, when any boat or vessel goes for fishing. Then the fish is a perishable commodity. As soon as it is to be, it has to be stored in the very, very cool place, or it has to be disposed of immediately or exported. Okay. So there is a regulation for mid-sea transshipment of the catch by deep sea fishing vessel. In that case, exporter is required to submit the EDF which is duly signed by the master of that vessel in lieu of the custom certification indicating the composition of the catch, number of catches or volume of catches, its quantity, export value, date of shipment, date of transfer of the catch from small barges to the main vessel which is going abroad, duly supported by the certificate from International Cargo Surveyor. Now the bill of lading, which is a transfer document, receipt of the transshipment will be issued by the carrier of that vessel, should include that EDF number. Okay, that EDF, both original as well as duplicate, should indicate the number and date of the letter of credit which is issued by the Ministry of Agriculture and operation of the vessel. Okay, custom will give their running serial number on both the copies of the EDF and will return the duplicate copy of the exporter as the value of certification for the export that has been made, already been made, and it is mentioned on that EDF. Okay, so that is the some leeway is given to, rather than coming to the port, then thereafter completing the formalities. By that time, one day or 2 days may go, that time the fish catch in the boat or vessel that may decay and that can be thrown away. Rather than to avoid this kind of problems, they have been permitted to approach to the nearest port and complete the formality and let the catch go from then and there only. You need not bring the catch here into the at the border of the port. Okay. Now coming down to understand little bit about the softtext forms. Softtext, as the name indicates, that it is a software related export. Softtext means software export forms. This is used in lieu of the EDF form generally, which is used. Okay, forms are almost same, content will remain the same. Only thing is that non-visible export, when it is done, then in that case the softtext form, or even visible export is made, that time also the softtext form is required. Generally, when there is a visible form, then it has to pass through the customs channel. But when it is non-visible, it will not go to the customs channel. It will go out as it is. So, all software exporters are permitted to file single as well as the bulk softtext form in a form of a statement in Excel format to the competent authority of the certification. Now, who is the competent authority of the for the certification? It may be Development Commissioner of Software Technology Park, or Government of India's official in data telecommunication, which is located near to the place of the exporter, software exporters. Since the softtext data are from the STPI or SEZs are being transmitted in electronic form to RBI, the exporter must submit the softtext copy in duplicate as per the revised procedure that is set up. Okay, STPI and SEZ will retain one copy and hand over the duplicate copy of the exporter after due certification. Exporters have to provide the information about all the invoices in the bulk statement in Excel format, which is they have prepared. Because there are number of softwares they have submitted, and in a consolidated manner, they are permitted to submit the softtext form. A column in the softtext form has been revised to declare single as well as the bulk software exports. So RBI has extended the facility for online generation of the EDF form number and then softtext form number, single as well as for the bulk, for the use in offsite software exports. Okay. Now invoicing. Software invoicing is also what it contains. Depending upon the agreement which they have entered into, the value of the supply of the software can be determined. Okay. So the long duration contract, which involves the series of transmissions, the exporter should bill the overseas client periodically, right? at least once in a month or on reaching the milestone, that means completion of the project, as provided in the contract which is entered into with the overseas client by the software exporter. The last invoice or bill should be raised not later than 15 days from the date of completion of the contract. So 15 days period is given, right? The contract which involving one-shot operation, the invoice should be raised within 15 days from the date of transmission. Okay. Having understood the software, let us understand a little bit about export of services. Export of services. Services, like how in import we are importing services also. Likewise, we export the services also. Okay. In respect of the export of services, okay, no form is specified in entire Foreign Exchange Management Act. So, the exporter may export such a services without furnishing any declaration, but he shall be liable to realize the amount of the foreign exchange which becomes due or accrue on account of such a export of services and repatriate the same to India in accordance with the provision which is contained in this act. These regulations are also form part and parcel of Foreign Exchange Management Act. Third party proceeds. Third party export proceeds. The realization of the export proceeds in respect of the export of the goods and software from third party, as I explained earlier also, should be duly declared by the exporter in appropriate declaration form. Okay? When this is that is very important. That declaration is very important. Okay, that's regulation. Now coming down to understand short shipment and set out shipment. What is short shipment and what is set out shipment? When part of the shipment is covered by the EDF, which is already filed with the customs in a short shipped. That means there is a commodity shipped is less than what is declared in the EDF form. And the exporter must give a notice of the short shipment, that is less shipment I am making, but I have declared this much quantity. That short shipment notice is required to be provided to the customs authority by filing the form with the customs authorities. This is short shipment. And shut out shipment, when shipment has been entirely shut and there is a delay in making the arrangement to reship, the exporter will give a notice in duplicate to the customs officials in the form of and the manner which is prescribed, attaching thereto an unused duplicate copy of EDF and the shipping bill. That means ship has already gone and thereafter the goods have reached to the port. What is the use? That is called shutout shipment. Okay. Custom will verify the shipment which was actually shut out, certify the copy of the notice as correct and forward. If I forward it to Reserve Bank of India. In this case, the original EDF which is received earlier from the customs will be cancelled, and if the shipment is made subsequently, a fresh set of EDF should be completed. Now, coming down to some of the few last aspect is consolidation of air cargo. When air cargo is shipped under the consolidation, means different shippers, different exporters, they are coming together and they have shipped in one cargo. Then where the air cargo is shipped under the consolidation, the air company will issue a master airway bill and that will be issued to the consolidated cargo agent. Okay, this consolidated cargo agent in turn will issue his own house airway bill. He also issued one house airway bill based on the master airway bill which they have issued. So that is called house airway bill. Banks may negotiate house airway bills only if the relative letter of credit specifically provides the negotiation of these documents in lieu of airway bill issued by the airline company. Similarly, like air cargo consolidation, there will be sea cargo consolidation also. So AD Bank can accept the forwarder's cargo receipt issued by IATA approved agent in lieu of bill of lading. So FCR, that is forwarder's cargo receipt, forwarder's receipt, which is generally called as forwarder's receipt. This forwarder's receipt will be issued by the shipping company or forwarders in lieu of bill of lading for negotiation, collection of the shipment document in respect of export transaction which is backed by the letter of credit. If there is a relative letter of credit specifically provides for negotiation of this document in lieu of the bill of lading, even if the relative sale contract with the overseas buyer does not provide for accepting the forwarder's cargo receipt as shipping document in lieu of bill of lading. AD banks at their discretion also can accept the forwarder's cargo receipt which is issued by the shipping company of the repute or IATA approved agents in lieu of bill of lading for purchase, discount and collection or negotiation of the shipping bills, shipping documents, even in case where the export transactions are not backed by the letter of credit, provided the relative sale contract with the overseas buyer provides the acceptance of the forwarder's cargo receipt as a shipping document in lieu of bill of lading. So friends, with this discussion, we have seen some of the regulations and some of the rules as well as some guidelines for the specific export-related transaction or type of exports. Thank you very much.